2 decades ago, the world found out that Prince Charles talks to his plants. And as I seem to remember, this news was not exactly well received at the time. What a difference 20 years make. Now the Royal Horticultural Society is conducting scientific experiments which measure low-frequency sounds made by human voices and whether the resulting vibrations affect the growth of plants. Specifically, they propose to read Shakespeare to the plants. And many experienced gardeners agree. They admit to talking to their plants and sometimes even threatening them. Colin Crosby, a head gardener at Wisley Gardens, says, and I quote, "There are times with a plant when you say, 'If you don't do something, this is the end. You are not producing flowers. I'm very sorry. It's going to be the compost heap.'" And then he adds, "It's amazing how they respond." But it's not only about the difference sound makes to plants. The multimedia artist Joe Patitucci has found a way of tracking the fluctuations within plants by attaching wires and then translating those into audible sound, producing plant sound, if you like. And what is more, the proximity of people who seem to be intuitively in tune with plants produce a marked difference in the fluctuations within the plants. Simply put, the plants are responding. Perhaps there really is more to our interaction with the natural life than meets the eye. Now, I believe that is also true about our gospel story. We see Jesus getting into a boat with his disciples. There is a storm. They think they're going to die. He stops the storm and all is well. Actually, not quite. The disciples are mainly terrified, first of the storm and then of Jesus. Metaphorically, this is a powerful picture of Jesus being with us and calming the storms in our lives. And if you ask people who profess to have faith, many will testify to that reality. But I would like to suggest that it's worth taking a closer look and actually start at the beginning, which we did in our earlier reading with one of the accounts of creation given in Genesis. I can almost imagine David Attenborough describing the scene, the sheer abundance of creativity, of life, the stunning display of varieties of plants and animal species and beauty. And then God designs a garden for the man to enjoy. We've heard it too often to appreciate it, the implications. This creation story, which we know so well, is of course by no means the only one or the earliest of the creation stories. But if you compare it to other ancient accounts, the differences are astounding. The Babylonian legend, for example, depicts the god Marduk creating humanity in order to serve and take care of the needs of the gods. Instead, the account in Genesis speaks of a god who creates for us, for our good, for our enjoyment, and in relationship with and for each other. But all is not well, at least not anymore. There is violence in the animal world. Our planet's resources are being exploited. And to this day, we struggle to live peacefully and respectfully with each other, whether that is in our marriages, in our families, in our communities, or with other nations. So yes, it's tempting to look for a messiah, a superhero, somebody who could take charge and calm things down, somebody who is superior, stronger, more powerful. Could this be Jesus? Caught up in a raging storm and close to drowning, the disciples are terrified for their lives. They wake up Jesus to let him know that all is lost. Master, Master, we are going to die. Or differently put, if you really are the Master, then do something. And many suggest that is exactly what Jesus is doing here, proving his superior force over nature. I have to admit, that doesn't sit easily with me. Not because I doubt his sovereignty, but because it seems out of character. The Genesis account tells us that God gives humanity dominion over creation, but to our shame and detriment, this has too often been interpreted as domination over creation and over each other, something God never intended. And so we assume mastery means being stronger, more forceful, more powerful than something or someone else. When really, dominion is about caretaking, about a mutual giving and receiving, about serving. Perhaps, just perhaps, Jesus gives us a glimpse into a realm some scientists are now seriously exploring. The audacious notion that as humans we can cooperate with the natural world in ways we didn't know was possible. I'm not alone in thinking so. Other commentators have noticed, when looking at this passage, the interaction of Jesus with the wind and the waves. His sleeping while the storm is raging, his waking and the wind and waters calming. Perhaps there's a simple interrelatedness and deep engagement with internal and external elements which we have lost or are only dimly aware of. What if Jesus' rebuke and the obedience of wind and water is more about natural cooperation and interrelationship than about superpowers? When the disciples note that even the wind and the waters obey him, the Greek word denotes a willing response rather than subjugation. I wonder if it's time we reread our Bibles in the light of our increasing awareness of our dependency on and the complexity of our planet's ecosystem. We are all aware of the damage we have already done, and if we are not, the next generation certainly is. Any God, any faith, which at its heart is silent about creation and how we are to exist within it, has surely lost its credibility. And maybe the miracles of Jesus are exactly that, not a suspension or overpowering of natural laws, but something which Joe Patitucci, who I mentioned earlier, believes is a possibility which either has been abandoned or not yet realized. a human sensory ability beyond our current understanding of engaging with the world around us. Now you may think that's a bit too far-fetched for us this morning, but I hope it makes us think at least. And then we can also take the metaphorical meaning far more seriously, I would suggest, which is that whatever the storm we are facing in our lives, however terrified we are, Jesus is with us and for us. And because of that, we need not be afraid. With him by our side, we can get through the storm, even rebuke it and watch it subside. Amen.